Hello, this is Dr. Phil Fernandez, the president of the Institute of Biblical Defense and senior pastor at Trinity Bible Fellowship. Now, if you notice, if you go to my website lately, you'll see that we have an ad wanted 100 Bible preaching pastors. What's that all about? Well, we know that there's a lot of men out there, Christian men who love the Lord, live lives of obedience to them, and feel a call to pastoral ministry. Yet they cannot afford the cost of Bible college and seminary. They often cannot give up their jobs and take care of their families and relocate. And so what we've done here at the Institute of Biblical Defense, we set up a two-year program that leads to ordination. Most of your courses will be in biblical studies or theological studies. There will be some apologetics training as well. And I head the Conservative Evangelical Association of Independent Churches. That was founded because we found that many so-called evangelicals are starting to water down inerrancy and starting to redefine what an error is and introduce, you know, starting to deny biblical miracles, miracles in the gospel. And so through Trinity Bible Fellowship and the Conservative Evangelical Association, we want to help men who are called to the ministry all around the country, help them to plant churches and all, but it's going to be a two-year program of studies and biblical studies and theological studies. And but you've got to be strong on inerrancy, the doctrine that God guided human authors to record His Word totally without error in the original manuscripts. And we're looking for, like the Marine Corps, a few good men, people out there ready to take a stand and defend the faith once for all delivered to the saints. You can start home Bible churches, and if they grow, rent bigger buildings beyond. That's all up to you. You'll be an independent church, but we want to help you get your credentials and work towards ordination. And for a time such as this, we need not just so-called evangelicals. We need conservative evangelical pastors, and we can give you the training that you need at a price you can afford. God bless you.
Are we on?
Oh, yeah, we are.
Nice. All right, that was a hard act to follow. Sorry. Yeah, that was tough. I didn't know what I was going to talk about today. Well, I want to start off on, I'm blessed to be able to speak twice in the same year and all that. I'm fortunate. The reason is, I mean, I like preaching. I love teaching. Stuff like that. So I think it's a privilege to be able to preach God's word and get a chance to study and stuff. The reason is because come December, my schedule is going to change. And I'll be working like every other weekend, so I won't be here every other weekend as of right now. So I took a chance to, or an opportunity that I can preach a couple times this year, and then it might be a while before I preach. Excuse me. But again, I didn't know what I was going to talk on. And then all these different trials started hitting our church. Josh, I mean, fortunate, and this is what's really sad, kind of makes me upset a little bit, that my job takes me away from Harrison, and it'll take me to Gig Harbor in an office, secluded in this little corner. Won't be actually physically in the hospital, where I have the opportunity to go and visit people while I'm there, take a break, run upstairs, go pray with people and stuff like that. So I'm going to really miss out on that. Having the opportunity to go and visit Josh when this first thing with Josh first happened really touched my heart. And seeing a 34-year-old man, it brought some really crazy things in my life back. My brother, who died when he was 34 of leukemia. So a lot of these emotions came back. And I was sitting there talking to him when he was really doped up, pain meds and stuff like that. He was kind of out of it. So I didn't, like I said, I didn't know what I was going to talk on, but talking to him sitting up and it just dawned on me right there what I was going to speak on. Strength. Who do we have our strength in? Where do we put our strength in? Who do we cry out to for our strength? It can't be ourselves. So a little analogy. So first of all, I want to start off, if you have your Bibles, lift them up. There's always one right there. Always one. Oh, man. Okay, I'll forgive you, okay? Anyways, my wife's faster. We used to have games. Someone preach or call out a scripture and try to go faster. She can beat me every time now. It's on her phone. It's like, doot, 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 there. No, I love paper. I like the rustling of the leaves. But anyways, if we can turn to Psalm 91, and that's where we're going to be in. So most of the time, that's what my message is based on, is Psalm 91. Let's go to the Lord in prayer real fast. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time. I thank you, Lord, just blessing this church with people, loved ones, that love your word so much that we can, like Chris has said many, many times, we can come to a gymnasium and learn about you. And despite the summer heat, winter cold, we're here, and we're here to hear from you, not from us, not from man, but hear from you, what you have to say. Lord, we just thank you, and right now we just want to lift up your word, that we can take your word and apply it to our lives. From the very beginning of Genesis to the end of Revelation, this is your word. These are 66 letters that you've wrote, your love letters that you've wrote to us. And Lord, we just thank you. And this is how we get to know you and get to know how much you've loved us and everything that you've done for us and will continue to do for us as long as we put this first in our lives. We thank you and we ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right, so as this hurricane quickly approached a small town, all the people hurried to the town's shelter. And as they were huddled up in a tiny, dark little room, the winds were howling. Did anyone come from like the Midwest where there's hurricanes and tornadoes or hurricanes? Anyways, my mom used to tell me stories in Oklahoma. Okay, they had, I call them bomb shelters, but they're hurricanes. They're down there. They're shelters. And that's what they did. It was common for my mom and dad to run down there. So as the wind's howling, the sheets of rain are beating against the door, and everything, the doors are rattling out the hinges, everyone's huddling in this shelter with their eyes fixed on the door, for they knew that if it blew off, everyone would be sucked out, and that would be gone. And then this town's elderly pastor stood up in the midst and began to pray, and he was a great oracle of God's word. And he cried out and he prayed, "Lord, send us the spirit of the children of Israel, the spirit of the children of Moses, and the spirit of the children of the promised land." And then this old man in that corner, not polished, certainly not directed, cried out in prayer, "Lord, don't send me nobody. You come yourself. This ain't no job for children." So how many times have we sat back and prayed, "I don't want this, God, I want you to come." So it makes a difference. So I don't know if you can relate to that, but there's been many times in my life that I desperately needed God, excuse me, God and God alone. Nobody else. Nobody else could satisfy that need that I had. So life has its twists, its turns, and trials, leaving one feeling helpless and hopeless. And I don't even have to say anything. I know we've all felt helpless and hopeless different parts, different times of our lives. And if you can't say that, then we'll talk later because you're lying to yourself. Psalm 91. So we're going to just look through verses just 1 through 8. I'll read it real fast. And I read out of the New King James, so follow suit if you can, on your device if you have to. Psalm 91. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor by the arrow that flies by day, nor by the pestilence that walks in the darkness, nor in the destruction that lays waste at noonday. Verse 7. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes you shall look and see the reward of the wicked. May God bless the reading of His word. So three words. So I will look at it. He dwells in the shelter. He is my refuge. And He is my fortress. In God whom I trust. The three words right here note something very important. Okay, so the Hebrew word for shelter, miklat, means a place to hide from your enemies. So in the Hebrew word refuge means a place to run to for safety. So not only a place to hide from your enemies, but also God gives us a place to run for our safety. And then the Hebrew word fortress, I'm not going to try to say it. I'll brutalize it. Anyways, means ones who keeps me. It's the idea of a stronghold. So there's nothing that God, just in Him, if we trust that this is God's word, and I'm sure that we all here do, there's nothing outside of this that we need. This is what we need. That's it. This is the fulfillment of God's word, is right here. This is what we need. We don't need any extracurricular things. So the psalmist here found God a hiding place, a safe place, a resting place from not only the trials, the troubles, the tribulations, the temptations, and the terrors of this world. Everyone has temptations. Every one of us do. Again, if you say you don't, then we're going to obviously gang up on you afterwards. Because everyone is tempted with things. It's how we deal with temptations is the key. So if we consider that God is our refuge, but we need to understand that He's also our shelter. With what's going on in our church right now, not just our church, our family right here, we need to look at the church in general. You can't wake up in the morning. This is sad, and I'm not making fun of this at all. But we live in a sad state when you wake up in the morning and you can't decide what gender you identify with. Our world is screwed up. It is really messed up. If you wake up in the morning and decide, well, I want to be a guy today. No, wake up in the morning, I had a really bad hair day. I'm going to be a girl today. But that is the debate right now that's in our church. Within our church, we see this. It's acceptable inside the American church. But we have to make a stand. That's not what God's word says. It's very clear what God's word says. But are we bold enough to actually stand up for it? Like today, I'm already putting one to sleep. She's snoring. I like it. She has a cold. Okay. Just kidding. I get you today when you're down there on the corner of the street on Silverdale Way, there will be, guaranteed, there will be people yelling profanities. Okay? So if your ears can't take it, don't go. Because I guarantee that's what's going to happen. There's no doubt about it. Not only is an argument today that you can kill the unborn kids before they're born, but there's arguments. We're actually having discussion on after they're born. We live in a really screwed up society if that's the case. So who do we put where do we go for that shelter of strength? In verses 8, or 5 through 8, we can look at, you will fear or not fear the terrors of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, or the pestilence that stalks us in the darkness. So I read a couple of things about this pestilence. I mean, you look at pestilence, you think of diseases, maybe malaria, mosquitoes, and stuff like that. So I read a couple Bible scholars that they look at that word pestilence as demons, because it stalks you at night. And it made me, I kind of blew it off, and I thought about it. But what does stalk us? I mean, as believers, we're being attacked constantly by demons. Whether you believe in the demon world or not, I mean, that's neither here nor there. If you believe in gravity, if you don't believe in gravity, go jump off a building, see what happens. Whether you believe it or not, it's real. It's going to happen. But we have our strength. Not only God is our refuge and our rest and our shelter, but He gives us courage. So courage is doing what you're afraid to do. But there can be no courage unless you're scared. That make sense? Courage is something that we all need, whether we realize it or not. For life can be scary at times. We go through, I remember, I mean, God, before I was a believer, there was a time when, in between my brother being diagnosed with leukemia, and then he was told that he only had a week to live, and then it was halfway in between that, within that week, I was with a friend out at Mason Lake, pouring down rain. I know it's rare, but it was pouring down rain. Sitting out there just crying. Again, I wasn't a believer. I was like, why did God take you? Why is He taking my brother and leaving me here? My brother never did drugs. Never drank. He got drunk just smelling the cork off a wine bottle. I mean, he was just never did. But I, on the other hand, probably sampled everything like a smorgasbord. And He's leaving me here and taking my brother. I never understood that. And I was crying out that day. And again, it was raining, rare in Washington, but it was. And then all of a sudden on this top of this hill, it just kind of parted. And it was just for that moment. I mean, briefly, it parted. Everyone was raining and just little sun. Everyone's seen it where the sun kind of creaks through the clouds and stuff. But it was just something I felt this warmth feeling about. Everything was going to be okay. Obviously not for me, but that He was going to be okay. But I was scared. I had that terrifying feeling that I knew where my brother was going to go. I knew he was a Christian. He tried to, every time we go to Seattle with him and doing these testings and stuff like that, he would be proselyting me. I was like, yeah, whatever. Okay, whatever. All right. Ferry is 50 minutes. Okay, I think he did that on purpose. Instead of driving around, I think he took the ferry on purpose. So I have that 50 minutes or hour or whatever, that captive audience. Trust me, when I see him again, I'm going to talk to him about that. See if he did it on purpose. But yeah, he had 2 hours a day every time we went over there to witness to me. But that was that moment that I was scared. Will I ever see him again? But what made me even more terrified was my life, where my life was going at that moment. And He knew that. So on some levels, at some point in life, we've all had a bout of fear. And fear steals our joy, depletes our strength, and paralyzes us with terror. The fact is, we all have to encounter fear, but you don't have to be overcome by fear, right? So sometimes the Lord calms the storm, no pun intended, But sometimes the Lord calms the storm. Sometimes he lets the storm rage and calms his child. And I bet you everyone can attest to that. You can have storms going on around you, but God is going to calm us amidst that storm. Courage is running towards your fears, not from them. We witnessed that on 9/11, watching it live. I know exactly where I was when that happened. And we were watching the TV and we watched all these cops, first responders, running towards. While everyone else is running that way, they're all running that way. All right, so I'm going to mention a quote. And if someone knows it, this is that interactive part of our service. If someone knows the quote, or if they have a guess, let me know. Courage is being scared to death, but saddling up anyways. Any guesses?
John Wayne.
Boom. Tie. Three-way tie right there. John Wayne. Courage is being scared to death, but saddling up anyways. I like that quote. Psalm 56, verse 3. When I am afraid, I will put my confidence in you, meaning God. So there are some things about courage that we need to understand. Where is our source of courage that we have? This point of origin, where is it coming from? So in verse 1, back in Psalm 91. So in verse 1, the psalmist calls God Elyon, the Most High, or possession. So you look in verse 1, who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. So the word Most High means, has that idea, that implication that God is the owner of everything. In heaven, on earth, our God owns it all. He's created it all. Elyon, the Most High, the God of possession, is the source of our courage. Joshua 1:6 through 9. Be strong, courageous. Be strong and very courageous. I have not commanded you. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do you think God's trying to make a point? Telling us to be strong and courageous. This is given right after Moses dies and he's commissioning Joshua. So he's telling him, be strong and courageous. Okay, be strong and very courageous. And God's asked the question. The Lord's asking, have I not commanded you, again, to be strong and courageous? So what do you think was happening? Maybe he was feeling a little scared. Maybe he was feeling a little frightened a little bit. Don't be afraid. When anyone's ever addressed in the Bible and Paul's like, or Jesus is telling you, don't be afraid, what do you think's happening? Well, they're afraid. And he's telling them, don't be afraid. So don't be terrified. Don't be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Joshua 1:6 or 1:9. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you everywhere you go. Man, take that with you. Wherever you go, he's there with you. God wants you to live with assurance, confidence, faith, and hope. He is your hiding place, your safe place. The reason why I'm bringing this up is I think we take things for granted. And sometimes we have to go back to elements, or like the basic elements, and think about it. It's like, okay, you're right. God is my strength. God is my courage. He is the origin of my courage. Without him, I am nothing. So we have to step back sometimes. It's great to know how to defend the faith. It's awesome how to give arguments stuff. But I think going back to the basics and understanding, how do I take these love letters and apply them to my daily life? I think as a general rule, we have to on our own look at God's Word and read it or thumb through it, whatever, and learn how to apply these things to our lives. So if He's our hiding place, our safe place, our resting place, God is a shelter of courage, for He is the source of our courage. So we had lunch with a man one day who's lost everything. His wife, his home, children, his location is gone. He made a profound statement. Be sure that when the storm hits, that you're holding on to, that what you're holding on to won't move. So be careful in whom or in what you take refuge. Be sure that the storm, or when the storm hits, that you're holding on to something that won't move. And I pictured that. You see cartoons and stuff like that. Windstorm, they're holding on to this pole and their legs are like that. That's the image that's in my head. I mean, can you imagine grabbing a reed, a straw, or something? As soon as you grab it, wind blows, you're gone. So we got to make sure that what we're grabbing onto and what we're holding onto for dear life, no pun intended, is not going to move. So who is that? God's unchangeable, immovable. So we got to make sure that in whom and in what we take refuge in. Not the world, because whichever way the wind blows, that's where the world's going to go. Okay, I experienced that in my last job. So God is a source of courage. He is also the sentry of courage to guard, to watch over. A sentry is a soldier posted to prevent unauthorized persons' passage. Anyone's ever been in the military, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Okay, one of my first real duties when I was in the 82nd Airborne, they sent us to Green Ramp. And it was an area where they loaded everything to get loaded up on the plane to get shoved out the back of the plane with parachutes. So my job, okay, this is kind of funny actually, they gave me a 12-gauge shotgun. Like, okay, cool. First real duty when I was in the military, gave me a shotgun. I was like, yes, never shot a shotgun. Then they gave me 3 rounds, duct taped together. All right, let's think about that for a second. They give you 3 rounds and they're duct taped. I mean, if some guy comes to break in, I'm supposed to be guarding this place. Some guy breaks in and I'm like, hold one sock. Trying to take this duct tape off these rounds. And I swear, if you drop one of these rounds, you know, like when chocolate... All right, I had a moment there for a second. All right, so when you have chocolate and it's old and it has that white dust, you can tell it's old chocolate, right? Well, the ends of the rounds kind of had that same kind of feel to it. So you're kind of scared. Like, do I really want to put these things in there? But you were just acting cool. I was a punk 18-year-old kid with a shotgun. It's like, really? Walking around. You heard this thing and you're pretending. Okay? Not knowing that there's cameras watching you, too. But it was just the idea that the 3 rounds, I'll never forget that, duct taped together. And I was like, really? They obviously didn't really expect you to use them. So it was kind of funny. Anyways, rabbit trail. All right, so the sentry is someone who's supposed to prevent unauthorized people. Okay, so God's Spirit is a sentry of courage posted in our hearts and our minds. So the text tells us in verses 5 through 8, and I'll paraphrase. God's Word says not to be afraid of the terrors of night, nor the fears and dangers of the day. Not to fear disease, darkness, disaster in the midday. Even though thousands fall around you, the evils will not touch you. But you will see with your eyes the protection of God, who stands over our lives, guarding our lives. If we take God's Word and learn and read. What's that verse? I'm bad at memorizing verses. That I hide, put God's Word in my heart, that I hide it in my heart, that I might not sin against you. I mean, that's what we're supposed to have. We're supposed to hide this in our heart. Not only that we don't sin against Him, but that we can draw on Him for protection. when we have those moments, those trials, those tribulations, those things that can happen, you know, that's going to happen in our day. You can't hide from it. It's going to happen. But Paul speaks of this divine sentry who stands guard. Turn with me to Philippians 4. I'm actually trying to beat Tim. You're already there, aren't you? Oh, man. Fine, whatever. You're my pick on today. I'm going to pick on you today. All right, so Philippians 4, 6 through 8. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And this is a really neat one right here. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. So let me finish with this verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. So don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, give thanksgiving. So finally, whatever is true, we need to put all our heart in. Put everything that we have in God's Word. Because God's Word transcends all our understanding. You can have multiple PhDs. You can have all these isms and ologies, all these things all wrapped up in a nice little basket. But the cool thing is, that God transcends all our understanding. Paul says, don't let the fears of this world occupy your mind, but rather the things of God. When our family, our church family, goes through trials, tribulations, sicknesses, those are the fears of this world. We can't let those occupy our mind. But we need to understand, for whatever reason, talking to Kenny the other night, I'm like, I don't know why you're going through this. Same thing with Josh. I mean, I had a great, like, 3 days. That 2 days in a row, I'm, like, visiting everyone and realizing every single one of them encouraged me. Because they're putting their 100% trust in Him who transcends all understanding and puts us first above everything else. So they encouraged me, I think, way more than my pea brain can encourage them. So I got out of it a lot when I went home after visiting Josh. Man, he's like, what's next? All right, God, you did this, not did it. You allowed this. Show me what's next. And I'm just like, man, I'm hoping that when I get to a point, or if I get to that point, that I have that courage, that understanding, and not, why me, kind of thing. But it was neat to see that. Same thing with Bill. It was neat to see that. Like, oh, I just want to go. I just want to go home. I think we all do. We all cry. We want to go home. But obviously God has a plan for us. Okay? There is. Everyone. God has a plan for every one of us. So it's up to us to realize that. So in verse 2, back in, see, I beat you, Tim. Back in Psalm 91, in verse 2, the psalmist calls God Elohim, my God, or power. It speaks of the sovereignty, majesty, that splendor, and that power of God. So during the Civil War, a Union soldier from Ohio was shot in the arm. His captain saw that he was wounded and barked out an order, "Give me your gun, private, and get to the rear." The private handed over his rifle and ran towards the north, seeking safety. But after going only about 200 or 300 yards, he came upon another skirmish. So he ran to the east, found himself in another part of the battle. Then he ran to the west, but encountered more fighting there. Finally, he ran back to the front lines, shouting, "Give me back my rifle, Captain. There ain't no rear to this battle nowhere." So how many times in our life do we realize there ain't no rear to this battle called life? We can't go to the rear. There is no safe spot. I mean, we're surrounded by enemies. But there is shelter, there's refuge, and fortress in God Himself. So He is the sustainer of courage to keep in existence, to maintain. I still think about the fact that by His hand, by His Spirit, by His power, that this vast universe is so finely tuned. I still can't. I mean, my understanding is compared to His, and it still, just pardon my expression, blows my mind to think about how vast this universe is, and God's just like, eh. There it is. It's like nothing to Him to keep this thing that we call the universe moving. So the implication is that God supplies all our needs. He is, in verse 1, El Shaddai, the Almighty. That is, He is the one who sustains life. He is the provider of all and for all. In verse 2, the psalmist calls God Jehovah, the Lord, or promise. The idea here is that God is the absolute, eternal, and unchanging one. I don't know if you guys noticed, I have a pen. I always carry a pen. I always hold a pen when I preach. It's like my little wand. It just keeps me going. I always have to have a pen in my hand. So He will sustain us. For what He has promised us that He's going to do. God is our source of courage, the century of courage, and He is a sustainer of courage. For He has promised to provide for His own, and that is us. In verse 8, you will see it with your own eyes. So we're going to wrap it up here. We'll get out of here a little early today. God loves each and every one of us as individuals. And that is the real thing that still blows my mind, is that He knew us before we were born. He picked out our lives. He knew what we were going to do. Like, He chose Pastor Phil to be a preacher of His word, and to study, and to be a great defender of His word. Just like He's chosen every single one of us for whatever our task is, whatever cross, whatever thing we have that God's given us. God has chosen that for us. So we're not part of this, I don't know, Star Wars, Star Trek thing, the Borg. We're not part of that collective. We are individuals. And God loves us as individuals where we are right now. And we need to understand that He is not only our courage, He's immovable. He sustains us, which is amazing. So I'll end with this illustration. All right, so first, turn to Psalm 31. I think I beat Tim. All right, so we'll Psalm 31, and then just hold on verse 24. So I'll give you a little illustration. We'll close with this. So you heard about this Desert Storm soldier who, while he was overseas, received a Dear John letter from his girlfriend back in the States. To add insult to injury, she wrote, "Will you please return my favorite photograph of myself? I need it for my engagement picture in the local newspaper." This poor guy was devastated. But all the soldiers came to his rescue. They went throughout the entire camp and collected pictures of all the guy's girlfriends. They filled up an entire shoebox and sent it to the girl along with a note from the guy saying, "Please find your picture and return the rest. For the life of me, I can't remember which one you were." Aren't you glad that God knows which one you are? And He has promised to care, guide, provide for you all the days of your life. God is our shelter of strength for all who will abide in His shadow of the Almighty. Psalm 31, verse 24. If I have made my gold my hope, or said it to find gold, you are my confidence. Be strong and let your heart take courage. All you hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go to the word in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time. Thank you for this beautiful weather that we have out there. Lord, right now I just want to lift up Kenny and Shirley. I want to lift up Bill and Pam, Josh and Lene and family. Lord, I just ask that right now you just give them an extra dose of courage. And then whatever people that are right now that are here, what they're going through, Lord, we just ask that we just turn to you. Turn to you for everything that we need. We don't need anything from this world, because what the world offers are lies and deceit and confusion. But Lord, for you, you are the one that's unchangeable. You are our stronghold, our refuge, our fortress. In you we put our trust. In you we love you. And outside of you, there is nothing. We can do nothing without you, who you have spun this universe, this crazy universe, into action for us. We just thank you. And we offer you everything we possibly can. We give you our lives, we give you our loves, our undying affection for you and everything that you've done for us. We thank you, Lord. We ask this in your Son's holy and precious name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Phil Fernandez, the President of the Institute of Biblical Defense and Senior Pastor of Trinity Bible Fellowship. Now, you may have seen on my website lately that we've got an ad, Wanted, 100 Certified Christian Apologists. What's that all about? Well, with the high cost of Bible colleges and seminary, and often the need to give up your job and relocate and try to figure out how to get another job to take care of your family, so many men and women are having a difficult time training for apologetics ministry. And so we don't think it should be an economic issue. We think if God's called you to defend the faith once for all delivered to the saints, that we should be able to get you the training. Now we have the Institute of Biblical Defense Certificate and Apologetics Program is a one-year program, and that entire program can be completed for $1,000 or less over the course of a year. So it's something that's affordable, and we will train you in defending the faith once we're all delivered to the saints. If God's calling you to be an apologist and you cannot afford traditional Bible college or seminary, Institute of Biblical Defense is here to help. Thank you. God bless.